بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تحمل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الشدائد والعزاء في دعوته إلى الله. أخرج أحمد عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد أوذيت في الله وما يؤذى أحد وأخفت في الله وما يخاف أحد ولقد أوتي علي 30 من بين يوم وليلة وما لي ولبلال رضي الله عنه ما يؤكل ذو كبد إلا ما يواري ابن بلال. إذاع أبي جهل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وغضب حمزة على أبي جهل. أخرج الطبراني أن يعقوب بن أتيبة أن المغيرة الأشخصي مرسلا أن أبا جهل اعترض إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بصفا فآزاه، وكان حمزة رضي الله تعالى عنه صاحب قنص وسيد، وكان يومئذ في قنصه، فلما رجع قالت له امرأته وكانت قد رأيت ما صنع أبو جهل برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا عمارة لو أريت ما صنع تغني أبا جهل بابن أخي. فغضب حمزة رضي الله تعالى عنه ومضى كما هو قبل أن يدخل بيته وهو معلق فوق قوسه في أنقه حتى دخل المسجد، فوجد أبا جهل في مجلس من مجالس قريش فلم يكلمه حتى على رأسه بقوسه، فشجه، فقام رجال من قريش إلى حمزة يمسكونه عنه. وقال حمزة ديني دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، أشهد أن رسول الله، فوالله لا أثني على ذلك، فامنعوني من ذلك إن كنتم صادقين. فلما أسلم حمزة رضي الله تعالى عنه عز وجل به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلمون، وثبت لهم بعد أمرهم، وحابت قريش وعملوا أن حمزة رضي الله تعالى عنه سيمنعه. دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أتيبة ابن أبي لهب حين أذاه وخبر هلاكه. أخرج الطبراني أن قتادة مرسلا قال تزوج أم كلثوم بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتيبة بن أبي لهب، وكان رقيا عند أخيه أتيبة بنت أبي لهب، فلما يبني بها حتى بؤس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلما نزل قوله تعالى تبت يدا أبي لهب، قال أبو لهب لابنه أتيبة وأتبت رأسي في رؤوسكما حرام إن لم تطلقها ابنتي محمد. قالت أمهما بنت حرب بن أمية وهي حمالة الحطب طلقاهما يا بني فإنهما صبتا فطلقهما. فلما طلق أتيبة أم كلثوم جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين فاركه فقال كفرت بدينك، فاركت ابنتك، لا تجئتني ولا أجيئك. ثم سطى عليه فشق قميص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو خارج نحو الشام تاجرا. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أما إن أسأل الله أن يسلط عليك قلبه. فخرج في نفر من قريش حتى تزول بمكان يقال له زرقاء ليلا، فأطاف بهم الأسد تلك الليلة. فجعل أتيبة يقول ويل أمي، هذا والله آكلي كما قال محمد قاتلني ابن أبي كبش وهو بمكة وأنا بالشام. فلما قضى عليه الأسد من بين القوم فضغمه ضغمة فقتله. قال زهير بن علا فحدثنا هشام بن أروى عن أبيه أن الأسد لما أطاف بهم تلك الليلة انصرف، فلما وجعلوا أتيبة وسطه فأقبل السبع يتخطأهم حتى أخذ برأس أتيبة فقذفه، وخلف عثمان بن عفان بعد رقية على أم كلثوم رضي الله عنه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Discussing the difficulties that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced while giving da'wat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that in comparison to all other anbiya, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not experience difficulty as Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced the most amount of difficulty in comparison to all others.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on occasions, it says that it went up to 30 days consecutively where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't have anything to eat, only that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, only that which Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu could conceal under his arm. So we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, beloved friends, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in comparison to other anbiya, ulama explain that why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say that he experienced the most amount of difficulty? Because there were other anbiya alayhim wasallam who apparently seemed to have went through more. So the ulama explain that with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the opposition that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam experienced when he started this dawat was primarily from those people who were close to him. It was the friends, it was the neighbors, and it was the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam who initially were the hindrance to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we will see, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's neighbors, who were also his family, they were the ones who, on occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to come home, Allah's Nabi used to find filth, Allah's Nabi used to find waste, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to find dirt on his house, and on his house, on his doorstep. And sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to remove all this filth with the end of his bow. So the incident that is mentioned here is that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was at Mount Safa, and his uncle Abu Jahl came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Jahl caused some harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the wife of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was witness to this here. They're saying that Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was a proficient hunter. And at that time he was out hunting, and he wasn't present when all this was happening. So he asked her, was there any others who were witness to this here? So she says, yes, there were others. And she says that if you had seen what they had done to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it would have upset you. So we find that Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, immediately he goes, he doesn't even enter his home, and he heads straight to the Haram Sharif, and he finds Abu Jahl sitting with a group of the Quraysh, and there, without even saying anything, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala who raises his bow, and he strikes Abu Jahl on his head. Some narrations mention that the bow even broke. There were some who, from amongst the Quraysh, who tried to apprehend, if you will, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, but Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, who he professed openly that his deen and the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the same. And we find that similar to the case of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, with the acceptance of the Islam of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, there was a degree of ease that the Muslims experienced in Makkah al-Mukarramah with the Islam of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Similar was the case with Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, that the Quraysh were a bit reluctant when it came to causing harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because they understood who Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was. Hazrat goes on to mention the incident where the son-in-law, if you will, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Utaybah, he causes harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam informs him that he will be destroyed. So they're saying that Hazrat Umm Kulsum radiallahu ta'ala an, she was married to the son of Abu Lahab. So there were two brothers, one was Utbah and one was Utaybah. So they were married to the two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The kitab explains that this nikah took place prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam receiving nabuwat. And Allah's Nabi, the daughters had not gone to the home of their husbands. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed at this time Surah Lahab. And it was around the same time that Abu Lahab was causing great amount of harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam together with his wife. So with regards to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Surah Lahab. So when the surah was revealed, Abu Lahab, both him and his wife, they approached their two sons to say that, I will have nothing to do with you. In our terms, he said that I will disown you until you two don't go and divorce your wives. So Utbah and Utaybah, both of them complied with the wishes of their father and mother, and they divorced the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So here to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, beloved friends, Allah's Nabi experienced the difficulty of his daughters coming home for no good reason. But we understand also, beloved friends, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we may think that there is some nuksan, or maybe there's some split or some separation, and there will be some difficulty coming our way. But here we find that Utbah and Utaybah both, they divorced the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
But this opened the way for Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala to get the title of Zulnurain, where Usman radiallahu ta'ala later on to and marry both of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with regards to Utaybah, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only did he just divorce, but he came to Allah's Nabi. He said some harsh words and he also assaulted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The kitab says that he tore the kurta of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this occasion, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, I wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets upon you one of his dogs. This was coincidentally the time when Utaybah was heading off on a business journey or business trip to Syria. And he reached a place called Zarqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such when they camped at this place, they saw that there was a lion that was circling around. And Utaybah, he immediately understood. So we understand what was the conviction of the kuffar on the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many incidents we hear where the kuffar who, they didn't have iman, but they understood that when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something, then it most definitely was going to happen. So we make dua to Allah Pak, that Allah Pak also gives us the conviction in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we also bring, together with iman, we also bring full conviction, and whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, definitely will come to pass. So Utaybah, he sees the lion and he takes a qasam, he says that this is the same dog which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about, this lion is going to eat me. So that night some narrations mention that Abu Lahab was also with that party. So that night they slept in such a way that they stacked up all their goods in a pile and they asked Utaybah to sleep right on the top. Abu Lahab gives instructions that all his men, if you will, they should sleep all around and they should try to protect the son of Abu Lahab. But here again we understand, beloved friends, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes harm to a person, nobody can protect him. And when Allah Pak wants to protect, then nobody can give harm. We know about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving Makkah al Mukarramah. The Quraysh were surrounding his house. And they were intent on killing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there Allah Pak had wished that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be safe. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came off the house in front of them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam safely reached Madinatul Munawwara. Here they tried to protect the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kitab mentions when they were sleeping, that lion stealthily jumped over. It ignored all of them. It ignored all the others, came directly to Utaybah. So how we can imagine it was like this, that Utaybah, he wakes up and he opens his eyes and he sees now that there's a lion staring down at him. And Allah Pak wished that before that lion could tear off his head, he gave off a scream. So that scream was additional punishment, if you will, to strike fear and terror into the hearts of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we find, beloved friends, that this enemy of Allah ta'ala tore the shirt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Pak sent one of his dogs in the form of a lion that tore his head, decapitated him, and the lion just casually went back into the jungle. So beloved friends, our ulama, our elders are explaining to us that this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they explain, they say that the suruh of this deen is da'wat. That when da'wat comes out of the ummah, then we will see the condition of the ummah where people will be outwardly, they'll be Muslims by name. But when da'wat leaves their life, then we will find it will just be like an empty shell. It will just be like a corpse that is moving around. So we have to make dua, beloved friends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts us for this work. That this work is going to come with sacrifice. So the sacrifice the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala went through, beloved friends, really it's nothing that we can. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, he understood the importance of the stories of Sahaba. He understood the importance of the stories of the Anbiya alayhi musallam. That he made it his mamul, if you will, that he himself, in his advanced age, he used to study the works and the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala of the Anbiya alayhi musallam. Not only used to relate it, but he used to teach it and discuss it. And he made it his habit that at night he used to have these stories read to him. And it was his son Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi who was tasked with reading these stories. And when Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, he passed away, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the son also, he had that same fervor and same desire. During the time of Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the work of da'wah to spread to various parts of the world. So Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi took it upon himself to compile this masterpiece. So this, beloved friends, And Mulana Ilyas or Mulana Yusuf Rahmatullahi used to read it after Isha. So possibly that is the same silsila that we are following today. That for those who are involved in the work of Dawat and Tabligh, today together with our Ta'lim of Fazali Amal, which is imperative, we have to read the stories of the Sahaba. Because beloved friends, their sacrifices that they endured, we can't even imagine that day. And from amongst the reasons they want us to read this is, one is we learn how they what they went through, how they gave the da'wah. Together with that, it will make us feel, so to say, that the work that we're doing is rather insignificant in comparison to them. So we make dua to Allah Pak, that Allah Pak accept one and all. Beloved friends, the sacrifice of our time is not to go now and spread our blood. Yes, there will be certain occasions when that will happen. But for us now is just to, as they would say, to get our feet, put our feet on the ground. We're living in such a zamana that people are waking up as Muslims and dying as kafirs. And people are waking up as kafirs and they're dying as Muslims. So currently we are in that zamana. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beloved friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let the efforts of a believer go to waste. In the same chapters of the harm that was come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we hear about the journey to Taif. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went, and we know the story. Allah's Nabi was pelted. But in all that sacrifice, we forget that the hidayat of one person was that all that beating and that torment and discomfort that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through, the hidayat of one Adas was written in all that day. That Adas, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in that pitiable condition. And Allah's Nabi, even in that condition, Allah's Nabi gave the Adas da'wat and Adas accepted Islam. So some would say that even in the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was written the hidayat of Adas. And like that in the case of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he goes to on the errand to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is diverted to the house of his sister. And there we understand, we remember the story, he beat his sister. And there the sister is crying. The sister is crying and she's bleeding. And in all that sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written the hidayat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So we also, beloved friends, we also have to make that effort, inshallah. And accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let our efforts go to waste, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من المهديين واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون اللهم توفنا من المسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندام ولا مفتونين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.